America was founded as one nation under God. The essence of the American experiment is self-rule under God. For example, in the Declaration of Independence, our national birth certificate, the framers said that our rights come from the Creator and that we have our government by the consent of the governed. But lately, we've seen a paganization of America. Pastor Lucas Miles has written the book Woke Jesus, and now he's written the book called Pagan Threat, Confronting America's Godless Uprising. By the way, this book has been endorsed by many luminaries, including the late Charlie Kirk. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Lucas, it's great to meet you on the radio. Appreciate this.
Hey, it's good to be with you and excited to dive into the topic.
Sure. Now, I don't have the book right in front of me. Can you read what Charlie Kirk wrote about your book, if that's handy for you?
Yeah, so Charlie actually wrote the foreword for the book, and I won't read the entire thing because it's several pages, but, you know, he starts off and, you know, he identifies this threat to the nation. I think Charlie understood this pagan threat better than anybody. I actually think that it's the thing that ended up taking his life. But he starts off, and I'll read you the first couple paragraphs. He said, "There's nothing new under the sun," Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. "What is experienced today has been experienced before. What has happened in the past will happen again." That's good to know, because in today's America, the Christian faithful are faced with a terrifying and broad array of dangers and threats. It's good to know that there's nothing unique about these evils. Every one of them has a precedent. We are menaced not by new false gods, but by the return of demons from long ago. To those raised in a Christian world, it's easy to take its moral innovations for granted. Even atheists benefit from living in the world that Christians made.
Yes.
And the surest sign that we are living in an evil modern age is that the forces of modernity are frantically fighting to restore the moral order that existed prior to Christianity. In other words, the moral order of the pagans. Charlie goes on and he says, "I've been friends with Lucas for some time now. I've come to know him as a speaker, pastor, and a partner at Turning Point USA Faith. But above all, I know him as a fearless warrior for Christ. Lucas is a man built to stand for truth in a time of great apostasy. And the era we live in is a time of apostasy that would make the Old Testament prophets shudder." And it feels so much truer now since he wrote these words. But yeah, it goes on. He wrote a couple pages there of that. But I was very honored to have him as part of this project, and he's deeply missed.
Can you tell me when he wrote that foreword for you, roughly?
Yeah, it was just a couple months before he passed. It was sometime this summer that he sent it over to me, and you know, went to publishing and everything after that. So I think that it's eerie now when you read it, you know, and I'm not trying to present that he predicted his death or anything like that. But, you know, Charlie talked about the threats multiple times. He knew that there was, you know, so many that, you know, would love to, you know, take him out of this world and a lot of the rest of us out of this world as well. He understood that this wasn't about, you know, any one person in particular, but that as we stand for Jesus, because the world, you know, it's John 15, because, you know, Jesus says, "Because the world hates me, it's going to hate you also." And I think Charlie really understood that. He knew the risks, but he still was willing to put himself out there on a regular basis because he loved this generation and he wanted to reach them.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and walk through the contents of this book? And why did you even write it in the first place? Pagan Threat.
Yeah, so the basic thesis here with this book, and it, you know, I'm very blessed, it's done quite well already. It's been a number one Amazon bestseller. I think it's the number four, top book on the entire platform right now, which is super exciting. This book really came out of some of my previous works on wokeism. When you look at wokeism and you really understand it, it's ultimately a religion. It's not a worldview or alone. It's not just it's not an economic structure. It's not a legal structure. It's really a religion. It has evolved, I think, even more so to show itself as a religion for a time. And you know, when we talk about wokeism, it's really just another term for describing Marxism. And so Marxism for a time as a parasite, it found a host in Christianity, and it used Christianity and specifically the church as a way of being able to broadcast and inject this message of critical race theory and critical queer theory and you know, DEI and all this sort of stuff out into society, deconstructionism, all of this. And they use corners of the church to be able to deliver this. But ultimately, Christianity is not a good long-term host for Marxism, because eventually, if you push into your Christianity, if you're a progressive Christian, you'll eventually realize that Christianity is antithetical to the Marxist beliefs you hold. If you push into your Marxist structure, you'll eventually deconstruct from Christianity altogether. So the two can't coexist for very long. But what can coexist is Marxism and paganism. And so there's been an agenda by those that are trying to push Marxism on America to supplant the Christian worldview that has been predominant within our society, and to reinstate a new worldview, and that is a pagan worldview. But this is a worldview where life is not celebrated. I mean, it's really a self-glorifying and self-deifying worldview. We get to become the gods of our own world. We get to be the ones to decide when a baby becomes a life in the womb. We get to be the ones to decide what sex or what gender we are. We get to be the ones to decide who lives and who dies. And that's the danger of paganism. And so this has been empowered by Marxism, to go even further, and vice versa. And, so I unpack this in the book, the history of it, show how it's gotten here, how paganism has been revived. I kind of break down all the different aspects of paganism, how it's, worked its way into the church. And then at the end of the book, I have a 7-step plan on how do we confront this? How do we do something about it? What are the grandparents, the parents out there, you know, that are trying to figure out how to navigate with their kids that are struggling in these things? How do they actually address that? And that's really what this book is about.
Okay, what is paganism? Short version.
So paganism is it's an eclectic view of spirituality and spiritual practices. You know, at a very simplistic level, it is a pursuit to try to find God in something or someone outside of the true biblical God that we see presented in the scriptures. And so this could take the form of witchcraft, the occult, shamanism. It could be through psychedelic drugs, trying to have a spiritual experience. It could be through Wicca. It could be through, tarot cards. Even some softer practices, you know, that we could look at, like yoga or the Enneagram, or, you know, burning sage in your house to cleanse the evil spirits. You know, all of those are examples of paganism in some form or fashion in today's world.
This is fascinating to me. I just today in my prescribed Bible study, I have a personal Bible study using the book called Search the Scriptures. You use it every day. After 3 years, you will have studied every single passage. No kidding. Today, 1 Kings 18, Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And you're saying there's a resurgence of Baalism, or that kind of false religion we see in the Bible over and over.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's not that necessarily. I mean, you're not going to drive down the street probably right now, at least yet, and see the first church of Baal. But what we are seeing is what I address as techno-paganism is rising up. So there is a major pursuit online that you could go to TikTok Live or some of these other platforms. And what you will see is that paganism and technology and Marxism and all of the, you know, LGBTQ, agenda, that these things are blending together. And we're starting to see this hybridization of some of these revivalistic pagan views with a modern neo twist through Marxism and gender ideology and technology to empower them. And it's producing sort of this new form of paganism that's becoming very prevalent today. That's rooted in a lot of the distorted ancient esoteric, ideas of the past, but further empowered by a lot of these modern expressions, you know, including technology and Marxism.
Well, the freedoms we enjoy here in America are because of the Judeo-Christian foundation of the nation. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's true. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Can you have unalienable rights in a thoroughly pagan America?
I think that's the goal. And so this is, you know, we saw, especially during COVID, we saw a real push for revisionist history. Basically, we have to go through and we're going to try to discredit all of the founding fathers. We're going to try to discredit Christopher Columbus and, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all these historical figures from our nation. We're going to try to discredit some of the movements of the church. We're going to try to discredit everybody that's got a statue. So we have to pull these things down. We're going to try to erase all remembrance of the past. And the goal of this is to bring in a new ethos, to get us to think differently. So if we can erase everything that we used to know, or if we can corrupt everything that we used to know, now we have to seek new foundations and new truth. And the attempt is to try to get us to do that within some sort of pagan construct so that Marxism can be readily received.
All right. Now, I know it's always wrong to bring up the Nazis if you're overstating things, but this is not an overstatement. In the book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is the definitive history of the Nazi movement, and I read the whole book word for word. It took me a long, long, long time. But anyway, one of the takeaways I got from the book was that Adolf Hitler felt that he got his calling to be, you know, the leader of the German people while viewing endless hours of Wagner operas. And those Wagner operas, you know, were just these trilogies and so forth, these gigantic stage productions, but they were glorifying the old ancient, you know, Norse gods and goddesses and stuff. And you talk about paganism, that's where Hitler felt that this is where he got his calling. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but, and I'm not saying that these people are Nazis, but I am saying that paganism can lead to some very, very bad things for everybody.
Yeah, so I'll build on that. And I'm actually my wife is a German speaker. And so we've studied out a lot of that history. I've written about some of those things in my book, Woke Jesus, where I kind of unpack the history of kind of the religious components to, the Third Reich that we see there.
Good.
And basically the Aryan, you know, Christ. So, you know, Hitler, in addition to, drawing from some of these pagan practices, he also looked to certain aspects of Christianity, but not in the traditional sense, obviously. He liked the, certain aspects of Jesus, but he refused to accept the gospel message as it was. He saw, he basically believed that Jesus was the supermensch, the superman, that he couldn't have died because that would not be something that a superman would do, you know, that he had to have somebody else die in his place. He supported some of those myths. And so, you know, Hitler had this hybrid of paganism and certain things from Christianity that he liked and wanted to adapt to use to control the people. And he brought all these things together. And I think it's a great picture and illustration of where we are today, that there is sort of this, choose your own adventure religion. If I want to take a little bit of Buddhism and a little bit of Catholicism and a little bit of Christianity, and I like this thing over here of, you know, the New Age movement, and I'm going to put this all together, then, you know, now all of a sudden I have a religion of my own making, which again, and further self-deifies us, that we get to decide what is true. We get to decide what religion, you know, is true in that sense. And we don't have to submit ourselves, you know, to the God of the scriptures.
This almost sounds like the Garden of Eden and the temptation of Eve and the fall of man.
I think that that's fair. Look, I think that, you know, as Charlie mentioned at the start of this forward, what's happened, you know, before is going to happen again. And I think this is a cycle that we're seeing. It's different now in that it's mixed with technology. It's mixed with a more developed form of Marxism. But the attributes are the same: control, manipulation, a totalitarian regime. It's all the same. This is what the enemy does in an attempt to kind of, steal, kill and destroy, you know, from humanity. But Jesus has come to give us life. We read in John 10:10, and life to the full. And I think that there's a roadmap for that. These are perilous times. It's difficult. You know, we've had much tragedy. I greatly miss my friend Charlie. He stood up. He became an icon for all of us about what it looks like to stand up for Jesus. He was martyred. He gave his life for this cause. He understood this threat better than anybody. And we can't let his life be wasted. We can't let these moments be wasted. We, you know, have to see that and reach into the depths of our heart and grab a hold of the bravery that is there to be able to stand the same if we expect to be able to confront and push back this pagan uprising.
All right, Lucas, we're out of time. LucasMiles.org for more information. Again, the name of the book is Pagan Threat. Thank you, Lucas. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.